When I started ministry, I was talking to some folks right here at University Lutheran Church in Lawrence, Kansas, where you got his degree in engineering, I learned today. They're back in 77. And it was a church that where the pulpit actually was way up on the side of the church, so that if I was preaching, I was sort of, the congregation was kind of up here. And there was another pastor that I served with, and both of us preached from here, and I've never gone back. churches with great pulpits, I come down here anyway. That's just anyway, you good folks. So, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, as a Sunday in the church year, has a lot of names. My home church, Trinity in Portland, we're celebrating it as a festival of Christ the King. Our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for a while called it the Sunday of the Fulfillment, but I don't see them using that phrase anymore. At your bulletin says it's the last Sunday of the church year. It's also known as the 29th Sunday after Pentecost or the 28th Sunday after Trinity. So there's a lot of different ways you can identify this day. But whatever you call the day, it is the end of the church year. We start with Advent next Sunday. And whichever you call it, it also has this same gospel reading that we just read and shared together. The story of the Son of Man, of whom we identify as Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Lord, coming in power and in glory to judge people as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. It began like this: when the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. It's one of those stories that we've heard a number of times. It's always read on this Sunday and actually often done even in the years when we emphasize one of the other gospels in the lessons. And so it's a well-known story, and I want to focus on one little phrase for a few moments, this section that says, he will come and all the angels with him. There's a focus and many, many themes and many stories about angels. There are sweet ones and there are others that are kind of terrible. Of course, the sweet and memorable ones, the one that we're going to hear often in the next few weeks, is the angel who announces to Mary that she's going to have a child. And then angels will come later to some shepherds out in a field and sing, glory to God in the highest. And unto you is born this day in the city of David in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There are wonderful stories about the angels who ministered to Jacob when he had a dream about a ladder ascending, and there were angels going up. You know, we sing that song, we're climbing Jacob's ladder. Jacob didn't climb the ladder. No people climb the ladder. It's the angels. It's God coming down to him and angels going up and down and ministering to him. Or there's even the more humorous story in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were headed toward the promised land. They went through through the country of Edom. And the king of Edom thought, you know what? I don't like these people. I'm going to hire me a prophet to curse them. That's what he did, the prophet for hire. So this guy Balaam, he said, Balaam, why don't you go up there and go to a mountain and curse these Israelites, these people that are coming into my land. So Balaam's riding his donkey, and all of a sudden his donkey doesn't go any further because there's an angel in the way, and the donkey sees it. Balaam doesn't. And Balaam's the one who talks, remember? That's kind of a story. So that was kind of an angel behind that kind of an event. But of course, there are also stories about angels that are full of power and full of awesomeness. I mean, in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Paradise, there were angels, cherubim, who guarded the entry so they couldn't go back into there. And there were flaming swords. And so there was a sign of power. And ever since I've been a kid, from a little footnote in my little blue catechism that talked about angels, and it says, and an angel slew 185,000 of Sennacherib's army. You remember that? That's one of those little facts that sat with me for 60 plus years, I guess. But that's a lot of power. One angel, 185,000 of Sennacherib's Assyrian army, all slain in one night. That's a lot of angel power. And of course, the other dark side of the angels, and you heard it was kind of referred to in the gospel lesson today, Satan himself is an angel who took a bad turn. And there are angels that are a part of his territory, a part of his reign, and they're referenced in the gospel lesson for today, the place reserved for the devil and his angels. And so there's a powerful and even a dark side to the angels. So there are many roles, and the word angel actually means a messenger. And so when they announce, when they talk to people, when they tell about what God is going to do, they're carrying out the will and the way of God. Now, I've never seen an angel, and I suspect you haven't, although I think many of us have had experiences where we sense that God or one of his angels was taking care of us. But this the lesson today gives us and sets us toward the time when we will see angels, when we will see those beings that have worked on behalf of God. You see, today, for Christians, for followers of Jesus, it is a day of promise. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the angels. How many? How many angels? What do you think? Remember, if when you studied philosophy, I learned about the scholastics, the people who really poured into stuff. And they used to argue how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. Right? That's kind of one of those things. You could sit around in some kind of a session late at night and of course, you'd have no idea what the answer is. But maybe you would have thought of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, who, when they came to arrest them, said, you know, I could pray to my Heavenly Father, and he would send more than 12 legions of angels to protect and take care of me. Well, depending upon the legion, wasn't a precise number of men, so it could be anywhere from 4,000 or 5,000 angels all the way up to 54,000, depending upon how you count. So that, you know, Jesus could have had a little help there in Gethsemane if he wanted it. And then remembering that Daniel, in one of his dreams and visions he had a vision of the heavenly court, and his dream included 1,000, there's the heavenly king, God the king, and 1,000 thousands of angels served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. I can't even do the math, certainly not in my head. We could figure that out. Lots of angels, uncountable is what we're trying to say. And the angels are the ministers of God. They represent God's will and who he is in the world. So when Jesus was at trial, the Gospel of Mark says, he one of the words he said to those, I think it was to Caiaphas, the high priest, he said, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power. He's kind of describing what is talked about in the gospel today, coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest, on hearing Jesus talk about the angels and about those powers coming, tore his garments and said, this man's blaspheming. He's taking the role and the place of God. And the very next thing the council did was they plotted together and they said, this Jesus, this man must die, because he's putting himself in the place of God. But for your ears and my ears today, today's word about the angels and their role today is a significant and a wonderful promise, because it comes as a part of the promise of Jesus that he will return, that he will come in great power and in glory, and all the angels with him. And he comes for one simple purpose: to claim and to take back those who are his. And so this task described of the angels is the last of the great tasks that they do on behalf of their Lord God and on behalf of Jesus, to bear and take to the Heavenly Father his own people. Remember that story of the poor man Lazarus and a rich man, and Lazarus was the one who the dogs licked his sores, and he died at the gate of the home of the rich man. And it says angels bore him to the bosom of Abraham. Angels were the one that carried him to his heavenly father. It reminds me of one of the great hymns that we hopefully sing at times in the season of Lent, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. And my favorite verse is the third verse that begins like this: Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abram's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearing. What wonderful words and what a great prayer that God's angels will bear us unfearingly and gloriously before the throne of God. And so the message of today is for us one of great joy and anticipation. It's what we're waiting for. It fulfills our heart's desire.